every young teenager you can imagine. I started to go on to several sites, and I found like webcam. That would be like the very beginning of it. Instead of just regular videos, it was like, oh, hi, how are you? You could like interact. I think that's like the next level. Before there was any virtual reality stuff, something more advanced, there was like, I think that, you know? So it wasn't just like unilateral, so you could get something out of it. That's how I felt. The next step would be like, I was talking with this somebody that I really liked at the time, like visually in the beginning. We started to talk. We added each other on Facebook. And without noticing, we were Skyping like every day, every single day, you know? And that's where it all began, you could say.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, when you were a teen, you mentioned you just kind of like stumbled upon a website. You know, you liked the part where you could interact with someone, with, you know, you're not just watching a video. And then maybe slowly and slowly you found someone you really enjoyed talking to. You took it to Skype. And then did you?
I didn't really plan anything. Like, yeah, there's like some where you really, it doesn't have to be like in the street, but when you look at somebody and you really like visually that person, we are very visual beings, men in particular. So when somebody stumbles upon your eye, you're like, hey, I like this. Okay, what happens next? And she replied. So I was like, let's follow along. And we were just Skyping. We fell in love.
And you went to visit her?
I didn't go to visit her because it was like very weird. The way I can explain it is that we were talking for like more than 1 year online, and she began to get like desperate because she didn't think I was gonna like make the step, you know? So she was like, hey, I don't know if I believe you, so if nothing happens, I'll be just like thinking that nothing will happen. She didn't threaten me at like to say the word, but I felt like, okay, I got to do something or this is going to just like crumble or fall apart, you know? So she told me that she was going to do like a trip, Colombia, Panama, Central America, and then Mexico. And if she got to Mexico without knowing about me personally before I saw her, which was kind of weird because if she was going to make that trip, okay, when I get there, we can just meet. But she wanted to take me seriously. That's what I think. So we ended up meeting in Panama.
How was that?
No, I made a trip first to Tapachula, Chiapas, which is the border between Mexico and Guatemala. Then I went to Guatemala, Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and then Panama. So it took me like 4 days, and she went to Turbo, Capurganá. I don't remember her route. She should know better, but we don't talk anymore. So we took almost the same time. When I got there, she had gotten there the night before today I got to Panama. So we almost got there at the same time, and we met, and we didn't know what was going to happen because it was a trip. It was her idea at the beginning, but we ended up like living together almost for 1 year in Panama before coming to Mexico.
Okay, that's crazy. And how old were you at the time?
It was 2012 when we met, and we got here 2013. It was July. We got married in August, if I remember, because I don't remember that like the exact date we got married. It was like my mom saw us and she said, okay, if something happens to her, maybe her legal status should be better, so it would be my advice for you to get married. And we were like, okay, let's do it. we wanted to do it, but it was also because there was some family support. We didn't like, it didn't take too long for us to get married after the first time somebody said about it.
And how was that like, you know, the first few days meeting her in person after talking so long online?
I think it was spot on because we liked each other very much. Because of all the future experiences I had many years later, I can tell that it's not the case every time. Whenever you meet somebody, it can go anywhere, you know? And there's a very big risk in meeting somebody like long distance. But if you're sure the other person also wants you in some way, I think it's a good idea. It's not maybe, it has a lot of cons, but it can be very exciting. That's the ultimate advantage, I would say. Because if you, I don't know, if I start dating a neighbor or something like that, it's not the same emotional rush or the same adrenaline than, I hooked up with somebody from another country, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the same, but it's very risky. And it can be like crazy to some extent.
Yeah, I guess you never really know indeed then what's it going to be like if you meet in person.
I wanted to really go well because it was like the first time I did something like of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it went pretty well, so I don't regret it. If I were to leave it all over again, maybe some details or some minutiae would be different, but I would do that same. I would live that same experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. So then you stayed together for 1 year, and then you came back together to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that like introducing her to your family, being in Mexico together?
My family was surprisingly accepting, like the other person. So I was very pleased, and I'm very grateful to them for being like that with her, you know, because it could be like, hey, okay, you came here with somebody, so now it's your turn to solve all the issues together. You know? They didn't do that. It was like, okay, you might need a hand, so we're gonna give it to you, and you do your thing, and you do whatever you want. So it was okay, I think. What I didn't like, I will begin with the confessions. It was maybe that in the sight of her family, her father told us like, hey, I'm going to be like calling you every once in a while to see how you're doing. And if you need anything, let me know. He never called, so he never said anything, you know. And I was like, okay. Okay, it doesn't matter, but, you know. So maybe we were thinking that he wanted to get rid of her daughter to some point. I don't know. I don't know certainly, but that's how it felt.
Yeah, so he never really talked much to maybe his daughter before, or...
They talked between each other, but there was a lack of communication from his side to my family, you know, because it's supposed to be, I know that maybe in Europe, people are more independent, but here in Latin America, like when there's a relationship that goes to marriage, there's like a family merge. I don't know how to call it, but there must be. Yeah, we are amongst the like the understanding that here there must be like communication between families. And that was not the case with him, you know. It was like, hey, I'm gonna do this, and he didn't do anything. And so there wasn't like adherence to what he said.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like, so when you go on the chatting sites, like is there any money involved or not?
How can I say it? If you want a real connection, you don't have to base it in money. There are many people who will say that, oh, I am the biggest user of this room, and that's why I got to a better connection with my model, if you say. But for my experience, the more you do that, or like you come here like, oh, I'm going to buy a shitload of tokens and I'm going to try to impress her and get all her attention. For me, it doesn't work. The model just starts like expecting more and more from the user, but in the economic way. Because it's, if I haven't done anything for him and he does more and more, I can just stay the same, you know? You're like operating with a subtext of I have to do everything. So for me, it's like a ping pong or a tennis match, something like that. I'm interested. She has to do something next. And it goes along, you know? It has to flow naturally. But it's a very, I don't know if you have any contact with that culture, but the word like simping and all that didn't really exist before. But there are thousands of sims on those platforms.
Yeah, so I don't really have any experience with that, because to me, I guess like similar to what you have with OnlyFans now, it always kind of seems to me just kind of like a financial system where the girl is like, oh yeah, you know, in exchange for money, I can show you my body, I can show you this, I can show you that. Mm-hmm. And there is maybe like a tiny, tiny chance that you can build a real connection. But I think that's very difficult, and maybe also kind of the, you know, the dream that the girl is trying to sell, like, oh, I'm going to choose you out of thousands of guys if you, you know, pay me enough money, if you treat me well, if you buy me gifts. So I don't know. To me, it always seems a bit fake, but it sounds like you did find a real connection.
You can do it, but yeah, like as you said, it is not easy. I think that it's like with Uber. When the app got to the city, maybe the drivers were making more money. And they could just chill back a bit, drive a few hours, and that's it. So there was more time to build a connection with somebody who you even, maybe it's against like the job, but you could just like have fun with somebody you were driving to another place and, hey, give me your number. Oh, okay, let's hang out. You could do that the years before, but now it's getting, I think that the industry is changing a lot. Yeah. And it's making like, hey, how are you? I'm really stressed. I need money. Oh, okay. Bye. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what I see this year compared to past years with models is that they are very, it's harder because there's an excess competition. There's a lot of performers and the economic conditions are not the same. So that's why I think that it's not the same as it was before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I have seen.
Yeah. And so after the first woman you met in person, you got married, then you ended up separating, right? How did that go?
We met in Panama. And she was going to go to Colombia with her family. And I was like, oh, okay, wait for me. Just a couple of months so I can do it too. And she was like, no, let me go. I was like, okay. I didn't make her wait for me or anything, but it was like, there might be a chance that he's cheating on me or something like that, you know? And she went with a friend from here to that trip. So I was like, when she came back, she got like really cold. For me, that was like, hey, she did something. So I was like, if we are like this, it's not gonna work. And the week after, she went to live to another place. So I think I was right, you know? But things were began to change, because we were all very loving, very close to each other, and I began to fall apart. So when she got back, there was the, like, there were not the same feelings from each other, you know? So we were like, when she got to live to the other place, it took me like 2 months to get another girlfriend. And she was not from the States, but she was Mexican, like regular one.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with another dude. But it was different from the one she traveled with. I don't know. But that was the main reason. She went to Colombia without me, and I got like, hey, you came here to my country, and we will live together, and I cannot go with you to Colombia. It's like, what can I expect from you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess some red flags went off at that point. Like, hey, what are you doing there?
Maybe they were there before, but I didn't see them, you know? Maybe she wanted to go to the U.S., like, as a final goal, and she struggled with talking English or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because for what I know right now, she's living, like, near the border. So I think it's her final goal.
Mm.
But if she comes here, she's not going to say me, oh, I want to be with you only because I want to use you as a step to go to the U.S., you know?
Mm.
So I think that's what happened. But when we met in Panama and we came here at the beginning, it was like something real, you know?
Mm.
Then she began to, oh, I'm going to do my thing and I want to earn my, I want to have more money, and that money must be mine, and I don't want to share it with anyone.
Mm.
She began to turn like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I like to be chill, but I think that she was like more desperate and more ambitious when it came to, I want to have a lot of money, I want to have a lot of material possessions. So there wasn't, we didn't match when it came to that.
Yeah. And if you would then compare, like as you mentioned, a relationship with a girl you just meet in a bar or you meet somewhere in Mexico compared to a girl you would meet like from a webcam or cam girl site, would you say that relationship is very different?
If you don't want to spend a lot of resources, money, and also, I don't know, mental resources, yeah, then the best thing you can do is to meet somebody, like, I don't know, if you go to the gym, you begin to talk with someone there, and like something more casual. It can be very exciting, but, and I think that's the change, because this year, it was a mess. When it came to financial stability, when it came to help from a family member. So it was like a click where I couldn't like take that much time and energy and put it into building those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes more from your side than something more casual. You have to work harder to just maintain that connection. The only chance that there is to build something real is that you live together or very close. Or the other would be like, if you have a lot of money and you can travel like at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot do that, it's not something real. It's like, because if you talk with someone, you're not going to meet. You're never going to meet. For me, it's like a waste of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is very expensive in many ways, not just the money, I would say.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with the more popular models, you know, you're kind of always competing with a bunch of guys. Whereas if you meet a girl in the gym, you know, maybe you're the only guy talking to her or one of like two or three guys that are interested in her in her social circle. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a different dynamic.
I have never liked to talk with the rooms which are like too crowded, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have moderated rooms with like thousands of users, but yeah, like I don't really get along with the models from those rooms. It's like, oh, okay, I'll help you, but whenever I want, and I don't have to show up every day because you're not paying me, and that's it, you know.
Mm.
And we end up just not talking, like after a couple of months, or it doesn't last very long to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people who are there since their first day, and we will be still there, you know? For what? You know?
Yeah.
But every head, I don't know what's the saying in English, but do you know Spanish?
A little bit, but not much.
We have a saying here that is like every head is a world, you know? So the guys, even the guys who are there, to me it might sound ridiculous, but they must have their reasons to stay there.
I mean, mm-hmm.
to still be there, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. That was never my way like of approaching, but they must have a reason.
Mm. Yeah, I think as you mentioned earlier, you know, it's kind of like the stereotype with the simp, like, you know, let me just, you know, stay hours per day in this chat room and pay her money and just be happy when she sends a message to me or acknowledges me or gives me some attention.
And I think with the OnlyFans, it's even worse. Well, it can be the same. Because whenever you see that you get a reply in a room which is live and the model is performing and you get a reply but she's busy, you can say it's not her, you know? It's like somebody from her team,
mm-hmm.
or somebody who replies for her. With OnlyFans, you just cannot know. Like, and most of the time when there is somebody with more than 1,000 subscribers and all texting, it's almost certainly that it isn't her. It is mm-hmm. like an assistant or like a dude like us or something like that responding to the other guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or like even AI nowadays, I think the most popular models, you know, they make so much money, they just say like, oh, let me spend $50,000 on hiring a guy who's going to make an AI model who's going to respond, you know, as if...
Instead of paying on a monthly basis to several guys.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes things cheaper. And in some way, it's getting really sad, you know?
Mm.
I think the pandemic made it grow like at a faster pace, but yeah, it's like the internet full of guys which, like me, are really lonely but never do anything. Like, if you ask, I don't know, 90%, they will tell you like, I never lived anything with anybody I met on those sites.
And you know, you mentioned in the email, like, you described it as really an addiction to the webcam streams. Do you feel like that is something that you need daily or weekly to look at or to interact at? Or how is your relationship when you maybe don't use that for a while?
I think the best is when you detach from it. Because if you are in an environment where you work remotely, it is very easy to take it up again. When I began with that, I was in the hospital for 6 days and I had to be like for a month not getting out very often. So mm-hmm. yeah, the first is like screen time increases the likelihood of becoming addicted to that. Yeah. And I don't know what is the statistic between men and women with any kind of porn, but I'm pretty sure that we are more inclined to watch porn than women.
Mm-hmm.
So we are more vulnerable, you could say, to fall into that.
Yeah.
And for the brain, it's easier to just type than to go get out of your comfort zone and to, like we're doing right now, to speak with someone new. Mm-hmm. It's harder.
Yeah.
Than to just type, because whenever you're typing, the other person cannot even watch how you look like, cannot even listen to you. So it's a low, very low level of interaction. It's more comfortable for the brain, but it's like a trap, you know?
And so at this moment in your life, like, what's your relationship still with the webcam sites?
I talk with some people. I am very... I feel very demotivated to engage. I talk like small talk, but I don't try to do anything out of it because I don't have any plans in the short term or even in the long term to like, oh, let's do something. Let's make a trip. It's not in my plans. So.
Mm-hmm.
My mind works that way, you know. If I don't want to get anything out of it, it's like I have like an off switch, and right now it's like off, but I don't know for how long, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, what financial impact would you say that the webcam addiction has had on your life?
And I'm not a spender, you could say, but. If every token I bought during this entire stage, I've saved it. Well, let's not make Bitcoin assumptions, because I'm gonna get depressed. But at least I could have traveled like 2 or 3 times more. Mm-hmm. Like if I saved every penny instead of putting it there since I was 18 to here, I could have traveled like a lot more. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a great question. There is no one who had asked that to me, and it hits you differently, you know? But yeah, I could have done way better with that money.
Mm. But is that something you regret? Because it also sounds like you found joy and adventure in a lot of those experiences.
I could have done the same thing without spending a single dime and travel to other places too. So it's like many of that money is like gambling to some extent. Like it doesn't take you nowhere. So I'm very much convinced that you don't have to, that the more you spend, it doesn't alter the results. And I don't know, somebody who bases his relationships with money might say otherwise. But for me, whenever you like someone, is do I like you too? Oh, do you like me too? Sorry. And okay, yes. Then let's go. If not, next. For me, it's that simple.
Mm.
So money not needed.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think, as you mentioned, you know, maybe when you have a period of boredom or a period where you stay at home by yourself, I can imagine it's still tempting to go back to the cam girl sites.
Yeah, because if you are not doing anything and you are not going outside, or because doing it outside is like kind of hard, you know? But like, if you don't go out and you don't have anything else to do, It's like, yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I, for example, I like to play guitar. I like to go to the gym. I have other hobbies. That has also helped me. That might have helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Because without those, I don't know, maybe I would have fallen into worse situations.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever talked with a therapist or someone close to you about this?
Family? No. Because it's something like really, really, really deep.
Mm.
Therapist, yeah. I was investing in crypto last year. And whenever I got to a certain point, I spent it. So I was like, what the hell, you know?
Mm.
So I began to self-sabotage. And so I didn't really believe that I could do it. So my subconscious made me like get to the default stage. And it helped me. It helped me a lot to understand why I was doing it. I didn't believe in myself. Yeah, that addiction comes from loneliness and from maybe not making the right connections the right way in your environment.
Mm.
So if you really like, I don't want to say introvert because there are introverts who succeed with personal connections. But if anyone who thinks has a problem with social relationships should be working on that, and it will be way harder to fall into that again.
Mm-hmm. And how are your social relationships at this point in your life?
This year it has sucked. My grandmother got to the hospital and I was 35 days going to take care of her. So I have to rebuild that part to some extent because I stopped hanging out with many people and they just, it is not that they are like fake friends, but it was like, okay, let me know when things are better. And yeah, I'm going to go to a birthday party this October 5th. And I will be working on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can. That really didn't help a lot. But it was like unexpected, you know?
Mm.
Remote work life, amongst other factors, when we began to like do everything at home, I don't know, order food instead of going to eat with coworkers, it also impacts your social life a lot. So you mm-hmm. have to take care of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, in the gym, instead of just doing your workout, let's talk with somebody different tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that can help a lot too.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're doing that now when you go to the gym?
Not 100%, but I try. I try to remember whenever I'm not like, oh, there's a lot of people. Let me use that machine. And whenever I'm more calm, and I remember, I tend to say hi, to smile more, like things. Very, very small things that can have a huge impact on other people.
Mm.
Just like saying hi and smiling is so important.
Yeah, I know for sure. I think that, you know, like being present and you know, being approachable, I think these are things that can help a lot. And when it comes to your work, do you now have a rhythm again where you have to go physically to the office or you still work from home a lot?
The things I do right now are 100% from home. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have to generate all the interactions like outside work.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that's pretty difficult.
It can be. Does your work require to deal with people right now?
Yeah. Yeah, so not every day, but about 3 days a week, I go to the office, and then I have, you know, a lot of colleagues and a lot of people I talk to throughout the day. But all then right. I do notice that then when I come back home, it's like, oh yeah, as you mentioned, it's quite common that I just talk to my girlfriend and then maybe no one else for an entire day.
Mm. Or maybe not like real talk, just like emails and work-related stuff instead of like small talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a small joke, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can help a lot.
Yeah. And so how are you trying to build those connections again? Because is it also because the webcam addiction that you feel like a lot of those relationships got less close over time?
Maybe I didn't realize it, but it could be harder for me to do it because of that. I don't know. I could do some tests, whatever, but it could be harder for me to, because if I remember when I was in high school, well, studying, like, you had to deal with people all the time. You had to be with them most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was very social, or I partied a lot. And yeah, especially when I finished my studies, and after I got divorced, that might have also something to do with, like, the alienation, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, you could say that there were, like, I had another relationship, but from 2019 to this year, it could have been maybe like, and it's 6 years that you could have like not been building that social muscle where it impacted you negatively.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And did it also happen where maybe, you know, friends invited you to hang out or do something, but then you felt like, oh no, it's just easier to stay at home and chat with someone online?
Ooh, a lot of time. Yeah, many times.
Mm.
Like, and especially this year, because not just because of that, but I was like, I got to a point this year where I said, like, I had to just, like, go to autopilot and not get save my energy saving mode or something like that, you know?
Mm.
Because there was like too many things which made me say, like, I don't want anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
I'm better, but it was very, very stressful.
Mm. Yeah. And how do you look at the future?
For now, I'm worrying about making it better money-wise, and then maybe do another trip, start with another trip, even if it's a small one. That doesn't have to do with webcam side, meeting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we have like 6 minutes to go, but I could also tell you that I went 3 times to Colombia, for example.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And on those 3 times, I met somebody I interacted with in the sites. So I am, how can you say? I have a 3-0 record, but I don't know, like, it is wise to do it other way, not just like thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to affect my decisions.
Yeah.
So that'll be my first thing to do. If not this year, because I don't think I'm going to achieve it, maybe next year or mm-hmm. something like that.
And where would you like to go to on a trip?
In between Argentina, Spain, or Southeast Asia. I don't know if you've been to those countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Spain before.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I quite like it. I haven't been to so many cities, but I think in general.
Where did you go?
One time to Madrid.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. People like to party a lot there, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big party guy, so I'm not sure. I wasn't.
Do you drink?
I'm also not a big drinker, but
right.
I mean, yeah, the pace of life is a bit different because I'm from the Netherlands, and here okay. we have like a dinner at 6 p.m. and then get used to the Spanish lifestyle where everything is way later, and especially in the summer, people stay out very late.
Partying, and you are more like chilling, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So just getting used to, you know, people having dinner sometimes in the summer until 11 at night, and then slowly get ready for the parties and things like that.
You're going to work without sleeping.
Yeah, I guess that happens as well.
I like flamenco.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to go to Andalusia, for example, to play like with gitanos, or I don't know, to have an experience that has to do with flamenco.
Yeah. So you mentioned you play guitar. You play acoustic guitar, then?
Yeah, I have a flamenco guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that. We're running out of, I will try to be fast. In 2019, I went to Medellin, and the housekeeper was the son of a Spanish gypsy, and he had a flamenco guitar. That night, we played like almost 3 hours. Once I played classical, only classical, and he played flamenco. We got along really well, and I fell in love with flamenco, and I took it from there. It was very, like, that took me, like, my addiction took me to things like that,
yeah,
which I don't regret a lot.
Mm. Yeah, the positive outcome and a new hobby, indeed, just because you went to Colombia.
It was a very good extra, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I have, if you have time, I have a few more minutes, because I'm curious to hear about the trips to Colombia you mentioned. Was that because you met someone beforehand, or you just went there hoping to meet someone?
One of them was because I met somebody here. The others, I hope to meet the person. And every time I met whoever I wanted to meet, I also met other people, but they were not like in the main plan. How else can I say it? My first one was 2019. I went to Medellin, to Bucaramanga, and to Barichara, which is like a small town, because I looked like, what is the most beautiful town in Colombia? It said Barichara. I have to go there. Mm-hmm. Like check, you know? That was the first one. The second one was with a model who also played guitar and sang, like, really, really well. Very talented. And we clicked. I was going to be there for more than a week, but I just went there to celebrate, like, her birthday, and I came back. It was really good. The third time I went there, I saw the stories of a girl here, which was around downtown. We met like four times. We got along pretty well. And she told me, like, I can stay with you. If you come to Colombia, you can stay with me. Okay, let's go. Which I did. And that was the third time.
Mm-hmm.
I said something else, right? I think in the mail. Last year, somebody from Barranquilla came here and got together like 9 guys, which to me was like, I wasn't used to that, you know?
Okay, 9 for guys me, that was, in person to...
That was like, do you remember the Tinder experiment where a guy made like 100 girls meet in the same place? I felt like that. It was like, what the fuck? What am I doing here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds very strange indeed to then expect to go on a date and just like 9 guys are there.
She was like, I want to travel, and the more guys that can help me with the expenses, the best, the better. Mm. That's why I made out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's not put Mexico in a bad place, but I know what to think about. Mm. And I think that's it. If you can make it as short as possible, that uh-huh. will be like my story.
Yeah.
And this year was a mess, so I wanted to get out of it, and right now I'm trying to rebuild everything without an addiction which lasted 18 years of my half of my life, because I'm 36 mm. and I started at 18. Imagine.
Yeah.
Half of my life.
Mm.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Like I can imagine it would be then very difficult to kind of, you know, overcome that addiction.
Yeah, and I think I'm doing pretty well because I don't know. There might be some other people who get like really, really depressed in a bad way, or I didn't have time to do that because I had to respond to my family, which was in trouble this year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That might also help me a lot.
Mm. Yeah, like a bit of an emergency situation, but then at least it pulled you out of the addiction for some part.
Mm-hmm. You could say that. Mm. I can say that. My grandma saved me.
Mm. thank you really much for sharing your stories. Indeed, it sounds like you had a lot of adventures with your trips.
I could talk forever about this, but I knew that we had limited time, so I tried to make it as short as possible.
Yeah, thank you.
You really helped me a lot with me talking about all this. That's all I can say. Mm. Because sometimes you just need to get it out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot go with some random, outside my home. If I tell to somebody, that person is going, oh, hey, Carlos did all this and this. What's up with him? And everybody knows, you know? So it was like very helpful for me. And thank you very much, Seb.
Thank you. Like, as you mentioned, you know, I think a lot of people, they have some experiences that they are kind of maybe shared of sharing with people close to them. But then it can help to just somehow find a stranger on the internet and share what's on your mind.
Yeah, and if there's somebody who watches this and thinks like he's in love with a model, and the model tells him like, oh, I have to pay rent, get out. That's all I can say.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point that, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible to make a real connection, but I would say in at least 99% of cases, and as you mentioned with the growth of the online, entertainment industry, it's getting more,
like 90, but it must be like really higher because I also try to help others, like, oh, say this and that, and she will respond. Not, they do whatever they want.
Mm.
Because they are not thinking clearly, you know, and they end up just getting scammed.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost all of the times.
Yeah, because it's impossible to know the intention, right, of the the person doing the webcam stream. And
they are just doing their job, and that's it.
Yeah,
like for almost everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She might do something else with you. She might choose you because she likes you, but don't count on it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I think a lot of men, you know, they have this kind of fantasy where, you know, in my home country, women are difficult, women are annoying, women are this and that. So let me try to find someone far away and create this illusion that things will be better. But yeah, I think it's good to try, at least try dating locally and see how that goes.
If that goes well, it can probably go well in other places, because mm-hmm. I mean, if it works locally and it is not a transactional relationship, you can fall in love everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it transactionally in your neighborhood, don't do it anywhere anywhere else. You mm-hmm. first solve that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I hope you, I hope you can meet a great woman.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But if we can be alone and be okay, it's better.
Mm.
That will come if you are okay in many areas of your life. That's what mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
If you are not good, you will have somebody by your side, but she will just exploit your weaknesses.
Mm.
If you are a strong man and a complete person, you will have a fulfilling relationship.
Mm.
Maybe that's what I believe.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely. Based, I think it's definitely good to have a solid foundation where you're mm-hmm. okay with being alone by yourself. You have you're working on yourself. You have friends you can talk to. I think that's a healthier way to start a relationship than when you feel like I'm alone and I need someone to, give me attention.
Yeah, right. Well, there are many like stoic people who forget about the social component of life because they, cold showers, working out, perfect diet, but they forget about having fun with other people. That's mm-hmm. where it comes from, the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, they also won't have any loving life or anything like that.
Mm. Yeah, that's indeed. You have now a lot of videos, that sometimes they're kind of more like comedy videos with the 3-hour morning routine and to be hyper productive. And
that guy, Ashton Hall, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's pretty funny. But as you mentioned,
people believe it and they do it, but they forget that there's life outside that.
Yeah.
Not everything is just like the grind set,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you also mentioned indeed that sometimes people are so obsessed with being productive that they kind of forget to live life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just live.
Mm.
And try not to worry too much about other stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Once again, Carlos, thank you very much for sharing a little bit about your life. And I hope it can be also to inspiring, as you mentioned, to people who might be listening, to at least be careful of the online dynamic that there is on those online platforms.
If this small piece of information saves someone, mm-hmm. then I'm really happy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, thank you, man. I'm. I was going to say I wish you a nice day, but maybe it's like in the middle of the night for you, right?
Yeah. Crazy hours, but this is me right now.
Mm. All right, man. Hey, I'm going to head out. Take care.
All right. See you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Bye-bye.